Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. My name is Nadia, and today we are doing episode 13. Now, you're going to want to stay the course because we are going to answer some really tough questions. First of all, how do you respond to authority? When you are asked to do something that is not right, will you resist? Will you go along with it? Or will you do it anyway? We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about lying. Is there ever a time that it is right to lie? Interesting question. And lastly, we're going to talk about fear. Fear, is there such a thing as healthy fear or unhealthy fear? Well, we're going to tackle all these questions today as we are going to look at two women, two very unlikely characters that were put in the forefront. Now, a few weeks back, we talked about Rahab, if you remember from Joshua chapter 2. She actually lied to the king to hide two spies. Interesting. She stood up to authority. Well, these two women that we're going to talk about today are named Shifra and Pua, and they also lied to the king. Very valiant women who put their lives on the line. So you want to stay with me because it is an incredible story. These are probably women that you've never even heard about. A lot of women haven't heard about Shifra and Pua, but they are found in Exodus chapter 1. So to give you a little bit of a background, back in Joseph's day, now Joseph, of course, who had the multicolored coat, who was considered as an outcast of the family, thrown into a pit because of jealousy by his brothers, sold to slavery into Egypt, and he went up the echelon, went up the hierarchy. He eventually, many years later, became one of the leaders in Egypt, and his brothers came back to see him. He forgave his brothers with what took place, and because there was a famine in the land, he brought 70 of his members of the family into Egypt so they would have food. Fast forward 400 years, those 70 people multiplied and became exceedingly great. And here we are in Exodus chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse number 1. Now, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted him, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. And their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shifra, and the name of the other was Pua. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwife said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. Wow, what an incredible story. And here we see two midwives, Shifra and Pua. And what's interesting is, if they disobeyed Pharaoh, they would be killed. But if they obeyed Pharaoh, they had to kill babies. What a predicament that they were in. And if you notice in verse 15, you see their names. And as I've done before, I like to look at names in the Bible and their meanings behind it. Shifra meant beautiful. Pua meant splendid or radiant. And so we don't know, of course, what they looked like, their outward appearance. But one thing for sure, spiritually speaking, they lived up to their names. What they did was a beautiful thing, was a splendid thing that was radiant, that radiated throughout the generations because they saved lives. You know, it's so interesting to see the king of Egypt here was not even mentioned. He didn't even have a name, but Shifra and Pua, oh, they were significant and they were mentioned. Here they were, these ladies were two very unlikely people to be used in deliverance, but they delivered God's people, the Hebrews. And as we see, they multiplied exceedingly, the children did, over generations. You know, let me tell you something. Sometimes in life, we don't see the fruit right away of things that we do. Isn't that true? You might have done some volunteer work back in 2018, and it's like, okay, I did volunteer work. Where's the fruit of it? Or you may have maybe taken somebody who was a shut-in to their hospital appointments, and it's like, well, I don't see much fruit in that, but I did it anyway. Or you may have done meals for somebody, and you're wondering, where's the fruit? But there is fruit in due season, I tell you. You know, kind of like children's ministries. I've done children's ministries most of my life as a children's pastor. And let me tell you, you don't see this right away. You don't see the fruit right away. You're wondering, oh, you know, these poor people that are helping out in nursery, and where's the glamour in that? Oh, but he is the God who sees. He is the God who rewards. You don't see fruit in children's ministry right away. It's kind of like the bamboo tree. If you have a bamboo plant and you're looking after it, the first year it might be about a foot tall, and it will stay like that no matter what you do, whether you water it and you nurture it and you give it sunlight, it's not going to grow. You don't see anything, and you're wondering, well, so where's the fruit in this? But same size, first year, second year, third year, fourth year, and the fifth year, all of a sudden that bamboo tree shoots up 80 feet high. So the fruits of it, very often, of whatever you do, it comes later. So do not be weary of doing good. Let's look and see what Galatians 6:9 says, exactly that. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Don't give up sowing goodness into people's lives and sowing into the kingdom of God, because in due season you will reap benefits. Listen, in this story, here was Shifra and Pua. Now they're saving babies' lives. How are they benefiting right away? You don't really see it, but over a period of time, these males multiplied exceedingly. How is that? Well, 80 years later, when Moses stood before Pharaoh, he had a lot of people behind him. Think about it. These were the babies that were saved 80 years earlier, who became fathers of many children. They had many children back then, who became grandfathers at the age of 80, maybe some of them great grandfathers. And back then, again, they had a lot of kids. So you can only imagine how this reaped into such blessing and benefit. Let's look at what Psalms 1 says. Psalms 1 verses, well, first verse, but basically Psalm 1, it points out three things not to do and what's going to happen if you don't do them. And so let's look at this. Three things not to do. Blessed is the man, or woman in this particular case, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. These midwives, they didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, their ungodly king. They listen to God instead, nor stands in the path of sinners. Now that's number two. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's number three. So what happens if you don't do those three things well? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, back then, you know what? There was no law. Moses wasn't on the scene. There were no Ten Commandments. This was right before Moses. So what was the law? Well, back then, clearly, these women, and I want to say this, these women, we don't know whether they were Hebrew or not. Some scholars believe that these midwives were Egyptian, because what Hebrew woman would want to kill a male baby? That's their argument. And so if they were in fact Egyptian, they must have heard through word of mouth, through traditions, they must have heard about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they believed in that God, the God Almighty, Yahweh. They believed in him. And they decided to serve him. And so look what it says. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So they wanted to do what was right. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And look at verse 3 of Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth in its fruit in its season. There you go again. The fruit coming in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Wow, what kind of blessing do we see? They were blessed. They were blessed because of what they did. So what are some of the things that we see here in this portion of scripture? First of all, we see that at that time, there was no fear in the land. No fear in the land. This king had no fear of God. He was going to do whatever he wanted to do. In fact, what he decreed was population control. It was genocide. He decided, hey, let's let the females live, the little female babies, because, you know, when they grow up, they could be female slaves in a household. They pose no military threat. But the boys, we will kill. We will kill the boys. Why? Because in case when they grow up, they're going to be warriors and they're going to side with our allies and they're going to come against us. And so there was no fear. This king sanctioned this in the government, the killing of babies. Is it any different back then from what it is today? Today, we see the government allowing the same kind of thing, the killing of babies. Here in Canada, the Liberals are, they call it pro-choice. In the States, USA, they, Democrats, of course, call it pro-choice. That's their stance. We call it abortion, killing of babies. No different than back then. No fear of God. How sad it is they allowed this. Now, today, no fear, no fear. I mean, you see this, you know, the slogan, no fear is out there on people's t-shirts. Hey, we have no fear. We are bold. We are brave. We can conquer anything. No fear on commercials, on products. You know, depicted in movies, oh, just being brave, no fear, we're going to do whatever we want. So much so that even the younger generation, oh my goodness, no fear, extreme sports. They will scale the steepest mountains. They will skydive. They will do crazy things that the natural mind will tell you not to do. You know, it's important to have a little bit of fear in your life, you know, with a little bit of healthy fear, there is sanity in that when you think about it. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. We need to make sure that we have fear of God, that healthy fear of God. There are people today that are living out there, many people, the masses, that have no fear of God. They just want to have life. Just like the Epicureans, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It doesn't matter what we do. We're just going to do whatever we want because, hey, I'm going to live till I'm 80 years old. Like, I'm not thinking of death. No fear of God. No fear of God. how sad it is. We see even in the media how Christianity is constantly knocked down. Comedians, I don't like watching comedies because just not a good thing. So often comedians will make fun of God. We see actors making fun of God. We see it in movies. We see it in our last Olympics in France. Oh, the big uproar about having the Last Supper, just a mockery of it and the mockery of Christianity and all the demonic elements coming out of it. Why there's no fear of God? No fear. It's amazing. What is going on with the world today? You know, so many people will fear the elements of nature. If you've been out in a terrible rainstorm and the rain's coming down like a sheet and your windshield wipers are going and you veer off the road, you're in a car accident, oh, now all of a sudden you realize the power of a rainstorm. Or even here in Canada. In Canada, we have snowstorms. Same thing. We might have freezing rain or black ice. And if you've ever fallen or tripped or been in an accident, broken bones and your ankle, oh, you know the power of a snowstorm. And we see across the world today, or even right now, as I'm recording this, there are floods in the U.S., hurricanes, typhoons across the world, hurricanes, everything that Matthew 24 speaks of. All these things are taking place, and the people that have experienced that know the power of a storm. Oh, and there's reverence for it. Think about it. Who's in charge of all the storms? God Almighty. He is the one with all the power, and yet we don't revere God. Back then, no fear of God. Today, no fear of God. But back then, two women were ready to stand up. And here's my second point. These two women, Shifra and Pua, feared God more than man. You got to think about it. They stood right in front of the most powerful man at that time of the ancient world, who could have just with the wave of a hand, you live, you die. And that's just how it was. Afraid. They trusted God. They refused to kill babies because they feared God more than man, even their jobs. Oh my goodness, if we were in that situation, let me ask you, if you were Shifra or if you were Pua, what would you do? Would you do what the king is telling you to do? Who do you fear most? Look what Proverbs 29:25 says. Of course, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. You know, so many people nowadays, oh my goodness, they rather just kind of go with the crowd. You know, the road is wide and leads to destruction. And very few want to go that narrow road. You know, ever see some of these riots that take place for whatever reason? All of a sudden, you have well-meaning citizens that never committed a crime in their lives. They are looting. They are breaking in stores. They've never had a record, and they are doing what the rest of the people are doing. How is this possible? Why? Because they don't take a stand. They just go with the masses. And it's a scary thing to go with the masses. A lot of people can't take a stand. Look at this picture right here. Who do you notice most? What do you notice? Who stands out? Think about that. God is calling us to stand up and to stand out and to be different from the masses, going against the grain. That is what Shifra and Pua did. They trusted in the Lord and not man. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says this. This is, of course, Solomon saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Solomon, the richest man that ever lived. He had everything. And that was the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. Oh my goodness. Do we do that? Realizing this is what it is all about. Fearing God. You know, some of you may have heard of John Bevere, the Christian author, very famous author. Well, he interviewed Jim Baker. Now, some of you might not know who Jim Baker is, especially some of you younger folk, but back in the late 80s, there were many televangelists that just kind of went down the drain, and he was one of them. He had a ministry, both he and his wife, Tammy Faye. There's a movie out there called The Eyes of Tammy Faye, which kind of portrays their life in some sense, but they lived very lavish lives, very indulgent lives in ministry. He took money from the ministry, and because of that, he was thrown in jail. He was thrown in prison. He lost everything. He lost his ministry. He lost his family. He lost everything. And in an interview with John Bevere, this is what he said. He says, "John, this prison is not God's judgment on my life, but his mercy. I believe if I had continued on the path I was on, I would have ended up in hell." Imagine that. And then he said, "I always loved Jesus, yet he was not my Lord. And there are millions of Americans just like me." Wow, what a sobering statement. He always loved Jesus, but Jesus was not his Lord. Do you know how many people, like he said, are out there today that, yeah, they might punch their church card, they go to church, and they might be posting scriptures on Instagram, but meanwhile they're going out to their club and parties and listen to very secular music with lyrics that are not glorifying to God in the least, and just live lives the rest of the week like they weren't even Christians. Nobody would be able to tell the difference. "Oh, I love Jesus. Yeah, I wear a cross. I love Jesus. But Jesus is not Lord." Oh my goodness. Is that you? Think about it. Is he Lord of your life? Have you given over your thoughts, your actions, your relationships, the things that you do, the decisions that you make? There was a time where back in the day we would wear WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? Do you question every time you make a decision? Hold on here. What would Jesus do in this situation? Would he be partying in this club like I'm at right now with all these people that don't even serve him? What fellowship does light have with darkness? Ask these questions to yourself. Oh, I love Jesus, but is he Lord? Is he Lord of your life? If he's not, then it's time to separate yourself. It's time to put him first. The Bible says, "He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." You can't love anybody more than Jesus. Jesus is number one. Number one. He's not number two. He's not number five. He's not number 15. He has to be number one. And there will be fruit in your life proving that. Not your Instagram posts, not your Facebook posts, but your everyday living. God will see. Do you fear the Lord? You have to adjust your lifestyle according to your conduct. So if he's Lord, prove it. And that's how we look at point number three. What is the proof of the fear of the Lord? Do you know what the proof is, ladies? The proof is you are going to obey. You are going to obey his commandments. You are going to obey what he says. Who was in charge of Shiphrah's and Puah's life? Was it Pharaoh? Oh no, he may have been the earthly king, but there was a heavenly king who was in charge of their lives, and that's why they made the right decision. It didn't just come like that. There was a strong faith behind it. Again, they trusted in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It wasn't a shallow faith. And that's what you and I need to do in our lives. We need to be consistent every day. It's not a Sunday punch card. It's an everyday life of prayer, of worship, of his word, of having godly relationships, of making godly choices. These are the things that will prove that we have the fear of the Lord. Are we obeying? They obeyed. And look, here's what the king said to them in verse 18. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Do you realize what's being said here? They lied. They lied to the king. Should they have lied to the king? And look at this. Interestingly, God rewarded them. But did God reward them because they lied? Well, look and see what verse 20 says. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. So twofold blessing with their households, and the people multiplied. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. Look at this. Because the midwives lied? No, because they feared God. They feared God. Now, let's look at the New Testament. And one day I'm going to be talking about Ananias and Sapphira. And the Bible speaks of them. Of course, they withheld what they were supposed to give of their goods. And they lied. They lied to the Holy Spirit, and they died instantly. They died instantly. They were struck down right in front of the people. So why didn't Shiphrah and Puah die right away? They lied. They lied to the king. Well, there's a difference in motivation. You see, here, Shiphrah and Puah lied to an evil tyrant, to a murderous king. They had nothing to benefit from it. They had the proper motivation. They wanted to save lives. Ananias and Sapphira, on the other hand, they lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied because of selfish ambition. Two different things. God always looks at the motives of the heart. That's what he does. And we see that right there. So we see that Shiphrah and Puah lied. Is it okay to lie? Are you saying that it's okay to lie? Well, first of all, let's just look at, see what Romans chapter 13 says, verses 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. So they should have been subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Oh, let me just stop right there, just so you know. This tells you, you didn't vote in your leader of your country. You didn't vote. Sometimes we think, oh, why do I have such a horrible politician? Well, you know what? It's not that the people voted him in. Here it says, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So whoever's in government, God appointed them. Understand that. God will use those leaders to serve his purposes. Now, if they are evil, you know what you do? You pray for them. You pray for them. That's what we are called to do. But here's verse 2. Back to that question. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Oh, so right here in Romans, it tells you don't resist authority. Well, very interesting. Were there parts of scripture, areas in scripture where there was, where civil disobedience was condoned? Yeah. Do you remember a little while back I spoke about Queen Athaliah, who was the daughter of King Ahab, and Queen Jezebel, evil as can be? She killed her entire family, but Jehosheba hid little Joash, who was Athaliah's grandson, hid him in the temple until the appointed time, and then he was brought out and became the ruler. Oh, so where there was defiance right there against Queen Athaliah, well, it was condoned, because this way the lineage of Judah would be preserved, and the messianic line was preserved for Jesus. So there's times, yes, defiance. Where else in scripture? Well, what about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? Twice they defied the Babylonian king's edict to pray and to bow down. Right there, we see it in scripture. What about Jesus? Jesus, he healed on the Sabbath. They pointed their fingers about that. The woman with the issue of blood was healed on the Sabbath. Plus, Matthew chapter 12 says he plucked wheat and, of course, ate wheat. You weren't supposed to do any work, considering that plucking wheat was work on the Sabbaths. And so that was broken. What about John and Peter preaching the gospel? And they were warned in the book of Acts, don't even preach, because otherwise you're going to get it. Well, this is the law. Well, what did they say in Acts chapter 5? We ought to obey God rather than men. And so, yes, sometimes there is justification in disobeying and not doing what the law is telling you. And when and where? Well, number one, first of all, if it goes against the commandments of God, you don't want to go against the commandments of God. We rather obey God than men. That's number one. Number two, if whatever's being done is pure evil, in this particular case, genocide, the killing of male babies, was pure evil. They couldn't do it. They had to obey God and do the right thing. And thirdly, where you disobey is when you are told you can't preach the gospel, where you are told you can't have worship. So for areas, when it comes to the proclamation of the gospel and worshiping, you know what? Please God rather than man. Those are the times. Those are the times where you have to stand up. Obedience in fearing the Lord is key. You know, the Bible says, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Matthew 7, verses 20 and 21. And then continuing, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wondrous works in your name? And then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so there you go. It's obedience. Obedience is key. Obedience is proof that you fear the Lord. Not your Instagram posts, not your ritualistic attendance of church on a Sunday and then live the way you want the rest of the week. Oh no, it's completely submitting yourself to the Lord, that he is Lord of your life, of every part of your life, of every facet of your life. And so lastly, what else do we see? Number four, we see that because of this, there was a tremendous blessing from what Shifra and Pua did. A tremendous blessing. So, verse 20, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared the Lord that he provided households for them. So what is the end result? There is blessing. Now, back then, midwives were known not to have their own families. Maybe some of them couldn't have children or they weren't married, but in this scripture, because of what they did, God provided these midwives husbands, God provided these midwives children, and so there was a legacy of their own. And there was a twofold blessing. It wasn't just the midwives, it was the people of Israel. They multiplied exceedingly. And so we see how they were established. Ephesians 6:8 says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, and this is for you, whatever good anybody does, including yourselves, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And so back then, yes, they were slaves, these midwives, they were serving under the king. And so what do we see in the story? As we wrap up, we see God's greatness in all of this. But number one, there was no fear in the land. Oh my goodness. But two women stood up and stood out and were ready to die to go against what the king was saying. Talk about faith. Talk about doing what was right. And because they obeyed, they were blessed. And that's one grand and noble fear that we see from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. It's all the way through. One fear that keeps coming up, the greatest fear of all, is the fear of the Lord. Reverence for the Lord. Doing what is right unto the Lord. Look at what Psalm 145:19 says. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. And so, ladies, this is for you. He will fulfill your desire and will hear your cry and will save you, save your household. He will honor you because you honor him. It's all about fear of the Lord. Psalm 31:19 says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Again, there is safety. There is refuge. That's what the Bible speaks of. And so as he kept them safe, he will keep you safe. Psalm 103:11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Proverbs 9:10-11, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And look at this. This is beautiful. Verse 11, for by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. What a promise. So it's promising you, this promise is filled with goodness of God in the sense that your days will be prolonged, your years will be multiplied, all because you fear God. And lastly, Proverbs 14:26-27, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Oh, you don't have to be afraid. See, they weren't afraid because they feared God. They were able to stand up before the king, the ancient ruler at that time. And his children will have a place of refuge. And the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Oh, talk about protection. Talk about blessing. Talk about the goodness of God. And so, ladies, as we close today, what an incredible story with Shifra and Pua, two very unlikely characters that have been elevated and brought forth. And we see the blessing not only in their own lives, but in the Hebrews' lives through generations, all because they stood to do what was right. Are you willing to stand and do what is right and to speak up when there is no other voice and speak up and do the will of the Lord? Good question. Ladies, let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for your word once again. Oh God, your word is a treasure. It is a treasure in our hearts. And Lord, we value your word. We value what your word says as we apply it to our own lives. And we look at these incredible examples of boldness, of faith, of Lord, fearing you. And Lord Jesus, forgive us for those times where we have not stood up. Forgive us for those times where we have amalgamated with the crowd and been silent when we should have been a voice. Lord Jesus, we want to be bold right before you and before everyone else, declaring your goodness in our lives, declaring your truth, declaring what is right. And Father, we know, oh God, that Lord, you have promises attached to those things, Lord, when we do stand up for righteousness. Lord Jesus, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. And Lord Jesus, we want to walk in your statutes. We want to walk in your ordinances. We want to do what is right. We want to ensure all the time that you are Lord of our lives and that you are first. And Father, if we haven't put you first, if we put our children first or our husbands first or other people first or our jobs first, whatever we have placed first, Lord, we lay down these idols before you and we ask that you forgive us, oh God. Lord, we shall have no other gods before us, O God. And Lord Jesus, may you always be first, and may we stand up for you like you stood on that cross. As that cross was raised up for our sins, you died for our sins, you cleansed us of all unrighteousness, and you have given us life. And so, Lord, let us be the light and the salt of the earth that you're calling us to be. And so, Father, use us today, forgive us of our sins, and let us go forth in power and in might and in boldness, proclaiming your goodness and standing up for what's right. And so, Jesus, we love you today, and we commit our lives again unto you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God, ladies. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And I pray that this lesson was a blessing to you. Feel free to share it with others. What a wonderful portion of scripture that we looked at today. And I pray that you'll join me next time as we look at another woman in the Bible. And there's so much to glean from in the Word of God. And I trust that the Lord will bless you today, bless your families. And thank you for joining today. And Lord willing, we will see you next time. So may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you. God be with you.